Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the AGI Greenpac Limited Q4 and FY25 earnings call hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak Ostwal from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello and good evening to everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, I thank you all for joining into the Quarter 4 FY25 earnings conference call of AGI Greenpac Limited. Today, from the management, we have Mr. Rajesh Khosla, sir, President and CEO of the business, Mr. Om Prakash Pandey, sir, CFO of the business, and Mr. Sandeep Sikka, sir, Group CFO. So, without any further delay, I will hand over the call to the management. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to AGI Greenpac Q4 FY25 earnings call. We have already circulated our earnings presentation, which is available on our website and on the stock exchange website. Kindly note that some remarks or observations made during today's call might be forward-looking. These may include, but are not limited to, financial projections or statements regarding the company's plan, objectives, expectations, or intentions. The company does not have any obligation to revise these forward-looking statements to reflect any future events or developments. For a comprehensive disclaimer, please refer to slide number two of the earnings presentation. In the fourth quarter of FY25, the company continued its growth trajectory, achieving total income of rupees 742 crores, registering a substantial growth of 17% compared to rupees 633 crores in Q4 FY24. The company's EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 191 crores, up 23% from rupees 156 crores from the same period last year, resulting in an EBITDA margin of 25.8%. Profit after tax reached rupees 97 crores, a significant 50% rise from rupees 65 crores recorded in Q4 FY24. AGI Greenpac reported strong financial results for the year ended March 31, 2025, achieving total income of rupees 2,604 crores, registering a year-on-year growth of 6.5% compared to rupees 2,445 crores in FY24. The company delivered EBITDA of rupees 689 crores, an increase of 17% over rupees 588 crores in the previous year, resulting in an EBITDA margin of 26.5%. Profit after tax for the year stood at rupees 322 crores, up by 28% compared to rupees 251 crores in FY24. The company continued its strong momentum, solidifying its position as India's most profitable glass packaging leader. I am happy to announce the board has approved a dividend of rupees 7 per equity share. Now, I would hand over the call to Mr. Khosla to discuss some of the key business highlights. Over to Mr. Khosla.
Thank you, Mr. Pandey. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us. In the year 2025, AGI Greenpac achieved the significant milestone demonstrating our commitment to excellence across various fronts. Our glass container capacity utilization consistently exceeded 95%, showcasing our dedication to operational excellence and efficient production optimization. We successfully executed debottlenecking initiative across our existing plants. And now, with 2,000 tons per day capacity, we are well positioned to cater to the growing customer demand. We further solidified our foray into high-margin categories such as cosmetic, perfumery, alcohol, and security caps and closure. In a significant step towards the future growth, the board has approved the setting up of state-of-the-art 500-ton plant, daily capacity plant manufacturing in Madhya Pradesh, which will help us cater to the northern and central India market quite closely. This strategic move is expected to increase our production capacity by approximately 25%, underscores our commitment to capturing emerging market opportunities and driving sustainable shareholder value. We are well positioned for continued growth and success in meeting the evolving demands of our industry. Now, we would like to open the call for any question you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from Burman Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. You are audible.
Yeah. My question is with respect to the other income. There is a 21 crore Telangana state subsidy that was recognized in Q4. Could you throw some more color on this? Is this one time, or would you be getting it yearly for a few years? Any other subsidy we should know about which will recognize in the near future?
Mr. Pandey? So I'll answer this question. So when we make investment into the state, let's say in the state of Telangana, there are various incentives of state government which are there. Some of them are linked to sales tax, GST, sorry, GST refunds. Some of them are electricity. Many of these, for this, we regularly apply to them. Our accounting is based on reasonable certainty. When the money comes in, then only we accrue it. Technically, these are all incomes which are related to business. And if you track our record for three, 4 years, you will see at many times we get this. So I cannot confirm that this will be a regular stream of income as such, but these are all incomes which are related to the businesses which we do and the investments which we have made in the state of Telangana. So these are technically one-off but relating to businesses.
Got it. My next question is on your margins. If I look at it quarter-on-quarter and YoY, your GMs have taken quite a hit, which has flowed down into EBITDA margin as well, obviously, ex other income. Any sense you can give what drove this low margin of about 21% after multiple quarters of 25+? And what bearing would that have on incremental quarters?
Shall I answer this?
Yeah, Rajesh, please go ahead.
Okay. See, on a margin side, there are on a very elementary side, there are two aspects. One aspect is on the price part, and second aspect is on the cost part. So what happens is the stability of the market always happens on the price part. But there is one area which is beyond the control of an organization that is basically on the cost side, and that too particularly on those commodities which are well controlled by the government. So the quarter what you are referring to, they have had some little bit of disadvantage on the fuel side where the cost of fuel has gone up. and it was high in those quarters, in that particular quarter, as compared to the other quarter. So what we normally do is, we normally do not see from the perspective of one particular quarter where those elements which are beyond the control of anyone, they play the role of fluctuating any margins. It is more important when we say the stability of the business on the on quarter-on-quarter basis and all. So normally we always merge the whole year profit margins and the whole year EBITDA margins, which are quite indicative of the future and all. And your second part was, is it how it is going to be in the future? Yes, future is same as we have been committing in the earlier times, that the market for us, particularly for us, is stable. We are going to supply the material as per our earlier supplies. Small fluctuations has happened, and small fluctuations can happen both on positive or negative side at any point of time for timing and for a temporary basis.
But if you see year on year, we have been able to expand our EBITDA per ton by a range of around 6.5%, 7%. So it's more the directionality rather going on the quarter on quarter numbers.
Sir, a follow-up to that, I'm not entirely sure about the fuel part. Don't you guys report fuel separately, like power and fuel, and I don't see any increase on that front. So any specific component in COGS that has increased?
So here what we are referring to is the comparison of Q3 versus Q4. Which reference you are taking?
I'm also referring to Q3 versus Q4. And if I look at power and fuel cost as a percentage of revenue, it's flat quarter on quarter, 19%.
No,
my
but
question is on the gross margin.
Your question is on the
gross margin.
Okay, the fuel part has already gone up, and they have been the reason of a small fluctuation on the EBITDA.
Sir, I'll take that offline. That's fine. That's fine. Sir, on I'm not sure you want to answer this or not, but I was tracking the review petition, and today it says dismissed in case status. So, any color you want to throw on what the update is there, or would you be disclosing it officially on the stock exchange?
We are still waiting for the final Supreme Court order to be uploaded. So it's very difficult for to comment anything. So as it comes, we'll make a necessary disclosure as applicable.
Got it. If for the full year FY26, any number on EBITDA margin? I understand that quarter on quarter there is volatility. But like the margin that print that has come in Q4 is 21%, and previously it was 25%. So the range is quite wide. Any sense you want to give which one is the more representative of next year? Is it more like 20% or 25%?
Mr. Sikha, you will reply.
So you have to take it as a range bound, you know, as such. If you see in the past also, our actual measurement is not on the percentages, it's actually the absolute EBITDA per ton. Because it has a numerator and a denominator effect, because when the raw material prices increase, so with some lag we are able to pass on the price increases to many of our contracts, and similarly gets adjusted. So what we measure internally from our perspective is EBITDA per ton number, but I know we don't give the tonnages as such to the market. But from your perspective, you have to work somewhere in a range of somewhere around 22 to 24, 25% only in the guidance.
And I think so. If you talk of the EBITDA margins on the annual scale, even if you ignore the other income part, they are always in the range of around 23, 24%, something like that. And it has been in the year 24-25 also. It has been in the year 23-24 also.
Got it. Thank you, sir, for answering my question.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. We take the next question from the line of Rohan Baranwal from Singhania Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yeah.
Okay. So, sir, I wanted to ask some questions regarding margins. So, can you please explain the reason behind the decline in the margins?
It has just been answered now. The previous question is on the same lines.
Really sorry, sir. I think inactive that time. So if we can repeat, that would be much better.
I think we have already explained to the previous question that there has been some fluctuation on the fuel side. The fuel prices have gone up in the last quarter, and they have basically contributed in the fluctuation of small margin. But normally we see the directionality of the business, which is quite positive, healthy, and moving positive towards that. There has been little small fluctuation, which always can happen in any quarter. It can happen because of any reason. So we hope that the fuel prices are already stable and they will stabilize further. And the margins, practically whatever is a small fluctuation which has happened, it will get settled out.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir, for your deep answer. So my next question is regarding the innovation in your field mix, which you have talked of in the last one. So can you quantify the cost benefit realized for this, and what's the target going forward?
What do you mean, like total value addition and innovation quantification? How much innovation is contributing in our margins? This is what you want to know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So the fuel mix
I regret to say that looking to the confidentialities and even our competitive edge over our other players, we are not supposed to disclose that how much our innovation is adding to the contribution in our or margin contribution in our margins, because these are all confidential and secured type of things. Otherwise, it will get opened up and then we may not have any edge as against our competitors.
Okay, sir.
It is open to the analysts like you to work it out that how much this innovation and other practices and good practices might have been contributing in our business.
Okay, sir. So if time persists, can I go for the next question?
Yes, please.
Please tell me.
Yeah, okay. So, sir, I just wanted the, can you please explain how have the soda ash prices moved, like Q1Q, and what is it currently? And what about your glass realizations as well for quarter and quarter basis?
I don't think so. We are not indicating the glass realization or glass quantities in our disclosures. That is one part. And as far as the soda ash is concerned, now soda ash for last 2-3 quarters is quite stable. They are still fluctuating, but to the some extent. And the price of soda ash depends upon many, many factors. It depends upon demand supply. It also depends upon Red Sea issue. It may also depend upon India's relationship with the Turkey. So it all depends upon so many factors and the contribution or the USA supply systems. So it depends on so many factors. But for last 2-3 quarters, it has been quite stable with a fluctuation of hardly 2-3% here and there.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And sir, if it's not possible to provide the amount-wise details, can you please quantify it in if it's up or down for the glass realization, quarter and quarter?
I think once the prices, because we have been indicating in our this call so many times that our prices have been linked with the formula-based pricing on the raw material and other things, but there is always a time lag.
So if the prices in the last few months they have adjusted on a lower side or a higher side, our prices have also gone accordingly with that. So there can be a little bit of time lags, and there is also sometimes there is a very temporary fluctuation which may hamper or I can say we can get a tailwind for one quarter or so, but more or less overall it is in the same range as our business used to be.
Thank you very much, sir, for your answer. I'll join in the queue for my next questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vijay Shah from Insightful Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you, ma'am, and congratulations, sir, on a great year, FY 2025. So as I understand, our greenfield CapEx will come up by closer to end of FY 2027.
No, 26.
It's at 2 years.
26. Sorry for that.
So by end of 2027. So end of financial year, FY 2027?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just two questions. One is, in the meanwhile, do we have any plans of looking at any inorganic growth? That is first.
Okay. And what is your next one?
The next one is that given that we have capacity constraint right now and value-added products are up to 23%, over the next couple of years, if you could any guidance in terms of where do you expect value-added products to go to?
Okay. Yes, you are right. We expect that the greenfield project is going to be commissioned by the end of 2026-27 financial year. And till that time, no capacity can be added up. But yes, there is a scope. We are hunting on debottlenecking our capacities. Debottlenecking either on capacities. Capacities are not going to be debottlenecked right now, but yes, with some practices and with some technological, we may upgrade our outcome of our furnace, I can say, performances. So all the efforts, our technical team and other teams are always there to put up the efforts to do that. So this is on the output side or technical side. On the commercial side, yes, there is a continuous endeavor to go for more and more value-added, and we are doing it. Yes, we have been doing close to 20% to 23%, rightfully you are saying, and we hope so we can add more percentage of products in the times to come. We are working on that, and the successes we have to see in next two quarters, how much quantity we are able to push on the value-added. But yes, there is a consistent efforts to make more and more value-added products in this industry.
Sure. Sir, if I may just one follow-up. The debottlenecking could lead to what kind of capacity growth, approximately, in a ballpark?
Oh, it's too vague today. That's what I'm saying. It's a continuous effort, and we are not sure. For example, like, when we were building our furnaces, we were reasonably pretty sure that we will be able to add 80 tons or 100 tons of the capacity at that time, because those were all quantified in that. But now, the furnaces have already been built. Now, whatever is the debottlenecking or capacity upgradation is concerned, it is more on the practices side. And in the practices side, we are also taking a lot of help from the global technical teams, and they are doing it. So we are never sure that how much quantity can come, but it's a continuous exercise which we are going to do. But we are hopeful something is certainly going to be hitting us in the near future.
Sure. Thank you, sir. And just one more thing, if I could add. So if you could just give a little color in terms of the demand scenario and pricing. Like, are we facing any pricing pressure, or how is the demand scenario from our customers?
Demand is okay. Demand, I'm not saying demand has any big change, but it's a continuous thing. India has a very, very small glass demand. It is just less than 2 kg per capita consumption. It is just 1.8 kg per capita, which is far, far lower than the other countries. The China has more than 12 kg
and even in the USA it is more than 36 kg. In Europe, in some of the countries, it is more than 60 kg or 70 kg per capita consumption. So if we go that way, so it is certainly very, very less, and we hope that this demand is going to continuously increase in the near future. I think India is, as India GDP growth is there, so obviously new avenues on the consumption side, on the demand side is opening up. And hopefully with the new FTAs they are having with UK, USA, which they are going to have, so there may be more export opportunity, and the demand of the glass will also grow up because the end product may require to pack in the glass side. So we hope that there is going to be a good demand in the future.
Pricing environment continues to remain stable?
Pricing is sometimes the adjustments. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes whenever the raw material prices goes up and down, the prices get adjusted with that. And there is a time lag. So with the time lag, there is small up and small down adjustment is always there. But more focus, I think we are also doing, and probably the analyst is also must be watching, more is on the margin side, on a stable, continuous margin side.
Sure, sir. And lastly, sir, any comment on the inorganic opportunity? Are we pursuing something, or are we likely to see something over there?
Again, being in business, it's a continuous exercise. We certainly are looking at the opportunities, but unless until they are matured, approved by the board, it is very difficult to say anything on that. But they are all in an immature or in a WIP stage, I can say like that. So if anything is there, we will certainly go.
Fair enough. Just want to understand, are we looking at it or not? Perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one at this time. Next question is from the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from Burman Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Sir, would you be able to highlight what the legal costs were associated with some of these cases in FY24 and FY25?
Very difficult to respond to this, because it's not that it's a price-sensitive stuff, but it's not that we give an individual line item as a part of the things. But when you have the annual report copy, you can see from there what part can be there.
Got it. In terms of revenue guidance, in the past, you used to give after the annual results. Anything you would like to comment on FY26, or we have to wait and watch?
We had given a guidance of around, with the existing product mix, debottlenecking, we have a potential to do 8%-10% growth on over the last year numbers. So I think we'll hold on to that.
Got it. And one final question on the working capital cycle. Has anything changed on that front? This year our cash generated from operations sort of took a hit, both because your payable days sort of went down and your receivable days went up. I mean, it's not a material change, but it did affect your EBITDA to cash conversion. Any change there in terms of customer contracts, and is the current level what we should expect ahead as well?
So these are some of the things, movement which are more of, I'll say, a year-end stuff. But I think the plain answer is nothing much has changed here. But these are the outcomes of a particular day. Let's say when you say that number of days have increased by around 12 days. So when you analyze June, they may be lower, as such. So I think what I'm trying to answer to your question is, if you see any abnormality in the movement, or the stocks are not selling, or we're building up receivables, so that's not, it's going as a normal course.
Got it, sir. Thanks, Doctor.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rajdeep Singh from Roha Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Good evening, team. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is in continuation to the previous participant's question on the legal and professional charges. The number for FY24 is there in the annual report. FY25, you are not being very upfront on calling out that number. Doesn't matter. But just that, checking on that, it has been routed through the other expenses for the quarter and for the full year. That is what I wanted to check. And this number would be substantially lower in FY26. Is that fair understanding?
Yes, definitely. Because if you see, we had a big chunk of litigations going on during FY25. And also during FY24, but as I told you, the matter was subjudiced before the Honorable Supreme Court, and they have heard the matter for the last two days and the last week. We're just awaiting the order, and let's see. You know, giving a guidance for next year on the legal cost will entirely depend how the Supreme Court order comes in, and what is the legal advice we get on the same.
Okay, but whatever is the cost, that has been booked through the P&L, right? There should not be any surprise on the next quarter in terms of in that number, no?
All the relevant costs are already booked.
Fair. Thank you. And second question was, sir, in Q3, you were saying...
Your voice is
going for shutdown. Hello? Am I audible now?
Yeah.
Sorry, am I audible now? Yeah, so with respect to HNG, you were saying in Q3 call that two more reactors were going under shutdown. So has that happened, and where is this demand going to if you are not able to cater to this demand?
I think HNG is making disclosures independent of us. So as we see their website and the disclosures, so one furnace has got shut down. Very recently, but I don't know where we have given a guidance that two furnaces will get shut down.
It was supposed to go for shutdown, is what you called out in Q3, I believe, if I recollect.
Okay, so that's broadly, you know, on the condition of the furnaces. I think what we would have told is that condition of furnaces there have not been rebuilt for pretty long time.
Hmm.
And few of the furnaces are under pressure actually for a shutdown. Very recently, they shut down one, but I think I'd like to avoid any comments any further on this.
Okay. And sir, who has been able to cater to this demand? The customers are coming back to is driving demand to us, or any comment on that?
Can you just repeat the question with more clarity so that I can answer precisely?
So since the furnace is shut down, the demand with respect to that, the customers, whom are they catering to? Is that demand coming to us? Who in the industry
is able to cater? See, what happens is, the furnace shutdown has happened on the northern part of India.
Okay.
And we are sitting quite on the southern side of the India. So the demand has not come actually to us. And there has been some more capacities which has been there in the northern side. So they have catered those demands, and they might have adjusted with that. And secondly, we also had pushed some more quantities in the whole system. So partly that has absorbed, and partly it might have got absorbed with the other suppliers.
Sure, that is helpful. And thank you very much, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and 1 at this time. I repeat, to ask a question, please press star and 1 now. We take the next question from the line of Praveen Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Hello. Yeah.
Yes.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations for excellent numbers for the year. I have one question. One is, when this capacity expansion for Madhya Pradesh came, you know, I was watching your interview on CNBC, and we expected some 50% capacity increase over next 2 years. Where are we? Can you elaborate more? Because my worry is, you know, if this HNG thing doesn't come away, which looks likely, then are we not, you know, we don't have capacity, much capacity left. So for next 2 years, and once this HNG through this international sugar comes back, so we will be not lag behind, you know, we have not taken the, the headroom since we have our capacity limitations. So can you explain more how we are going to grow from here next 2 years?
During a time of litigation and during even the COVID times, we have been able to increase our capacity in a specialty class. Then we have de-bottlenecked our two furnaces, which has added the further capacity. So these are the organic way of de-bottlenecking and adding the capacities. Besides that, we announced 500 tons of Gwalior project, which is underway, and we are trying to complete as soon as possible. So this Gwalior project is certainly going to add at least 25% of our capacity as on today. Then certainly we are seriously thinking on some other projects, but obviously once those projects are finalized, so we will come back to the investors and inform them about that. So before that, there was a question, are you still looking for some inorganic or organic growth? Yes, certainly. It is an ongoing exercise, and we are certainly looking to that. And once anything get materialized, once anything get freeze, and once we inform the board and the SEBI, then accordingly we will inform to the rest of the investors. So you please do not worry. We are in line. We have our plans intact. We are not going to lose on percentage market share in the market, and certainly also not going to lose the trend of our growth, which you have been witnessing for last few years.
That sounds very good, sir. Hope you know, we will grow and we will not leave the headroom to the competitor in the changing. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Anil Shah from Insightful Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers for 25. I have two questions, sir. One, you talked about, you know, penning 8-10% revenue growth for 26. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And, you know, stable margins from a yearly perspective. I understand quarterly aberrations can happen, but you know, we've seen about 23-24% margins over the last 2 years. Is that something that we can pen?
Wow, certainly.
Yes.
Yes. Certain.
So 8-10% growth, and in the span of 2 years, when the project is upcoming, as Mr. Rajesh Khosla told, we'll have an incremental 25% capacity.
Yeah, and, no, 8-10% over 2 years, or is it 8-10% for 26? I'm only asking.
For FY26.
Correct. And with stable margins. So you should see, we should see at least EBITDA growing.
You are on track. You are on track.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. My second question is, sir, on the new project that's coming up, just wanted to check land acquisition done, approvals in place, and have we already placed orders for the furnaces? Is there any chance of delay there, or is it fine? Or is it, you know, it's all done? It's like a done deal in terms of placements of orders, approvals, etc., etc.
Sir, everything on track. And as on today, I can say I may like to complete the project and put it online at least one day before the date we have committed to the investors.
Which is end of FY27?
I say at least one day before. Will complete, yes. At least I'm saying the word is at least. So as the project will proceed further, so we'll see how we can fasten and do it further. So as far as your very specific question is concerned, whether we have finalized the furnaces and other things, yes, we have a Gantt chart, timeline chart, and everything is progressing as per that. So I can say that we are quite close, because before placement of any of the machines or any equipment, so there is a lot of due diligence discussions happened, so which are practically close to putting up the order to them. So everything on track, sir.
India needs lots of approvals.
Oh, everything on track, sir.
All track.
I can say today that we are ahead of what we are supposed to be.
Fair. And so my last question, you know, for you to achieve, for just again, I'm repeating, one, the project, you've told me everything's on track, I appreciate. Second, you've told me 8 to 10% for FY26, with steady margins. Anything that you think that can, on the downside, or in terms of the risk on that, anything that can, you know, in terms of you, gives you, I won't use the word sleepless night, but which worries you, if at all.
Every day when we wake up in the morning, it's a full of risk and threats are there.
No, that obviously is there,
it's for everyone.
But from a business perspective, I mean, you know, we do have a lot of long-term contracts.
I'm saying a small thing. Let's talk of a very small thing. Yesterday there was a news that Trump has said something strong words for India. They say no need for producing the Apple phone in the country. Then India decided to have a strong standing against Turkey.
Correct.
See, all these have somewhere or the other can impact the negative. But along with the negative points, there are so many positive things are also happening, which may is visible or which may not be visible. So being the business manager, so it is our responsibility to see that how these negative things I can take it out and how to ride on the waves of the positive part. So I cannot say that there is no negative. Every year there were so many negative things. And this year also we expect a lot of turbulence as by everyone. So, but don't worry. I think it is our responsibility to see that we should ride all those negative parts and make sure that we fulfill our commitments to the market.
Right. And so last question, we chose Bhopal, obviously strategically, you know, makes sense from that perspective, but are we seeing any, you know, any SOPs coming in from the state government there in form of some waivers in terms of taxation?
Today every state government is attracting the investments and they are doing, they are investing, but they are attracting with a lot of SOPs. So, yeah. Of course, those SOPs are available to us also. At this stage, I can say like that, these SOPs are designed specially for each project and we are not supposed to inform or to open up, reveal those things because they are made specially for each project. I can say the government is treating us very fairly and we are quite happy with that.
If I can squeeze in one more question, if that's fine with you, sir. I'm already asked three questions.
Tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me,
sir. So in terms of the new capacity that's likely to come in at the end of FY27, would you like to share if we have, you know, tied up with end users, you know, any particular percentage as far as the capacity is concerned already or?
Sir, there are various ways of tying up with your products. So one tie-up is legal and contractual tie-ups. Second tie-ups, you can say, it is on the way of your understanding and long-term association. The third tie-up, I can say that it is more on the on extrapolating the demand side is there. And the fourth is you assume that there is going to be a technical upswing in your products and suddenly you are going to grab the market. So I think we are quite comfortable on all the four or five fronts and is there. Because I can say the total quantity, whatever we are going to produce, partially we had a contractual tie-up, partially we have a understanding on a long-term basis, partially I think because of our technological product, we are very sure that we are going to grab the market. So all these various pockets and aspects assure us that we'll be in a good position.
Great. Thank you so much, sir. That's all that I have. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Steve Sankar from EIP. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, Sajidhan. Two questions. Over the last few years, if I look at it, the cash generation has been so strong. So the capex that you're planning around 500 TPD, if I understand correctly, that funded 640 that debt equity, correct?
Your voice is too breaking. I don't know. Only happening for me or for anybody else. I can't hear you properly. You're holding your mic too nearer to your mouth.
Let me try to do this.
I think if you can put a softer question, maybe the voice can be clear.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Your cash generation has been so strong, and the way you have generated cash over the last 4 years is really commendable. So the 500 PPD capex, if I really look at the way you have been generating cash, that should not be an issue at all for you in terms of your any increase in your leverage. And what is the long-term plan, or if I ask you for what are you going to visualize yourself in 3 years hence, where you want to reach, and you what are you going to do with all these cash generation? That's number one. Number two, and assuming that you will continue to generate next year also, year after also, you've also planned to have your capacities built up in the UAE. Where are we with regard to that? Because I understand that you've already set up the company and all those things.
Sir, I'd like to answer the last question first, and then my colleague Mr. Sikka will answer rest of the questions. Sir, we formed a company in UAE for marketing our products which we are manufacturing in India. So we have not started any company to put up the facility in UAE as on today. Though we may be exploring and taking care, that is still okay. That is a part of the business. But particularly, we have not formed a company to explore any manufacturing facility in UAE as on today. Okay. So this is one part. And second part is about the cash part, which is a good problem to understand and to talk. I think my colleague is going to answer that.
Yeah.
I think if you see our performance, definitely a lot of cash is getting generated, which we have utilized to pay our debt and also build capacity by way of bottlenecking. So what you need to understand here is that we are now a very strong player on liquid packaging market. And company wants to remain focused and all the initiatives which we have done over the last few years, they are yielding results. Let it be the glass internal efficiency build-up, our caps and closure project, which is now doing good. So incremental investments, we are evaluating various incremental investments, organic, inorganic, relating to liquid packaging market, which includes glass also. Okay. We see over-dependence on one particular type of packaging product may also over a long term period may eventually may have a stagnation. So we need to move in line with how the markets move, how the economic trends in terms of purchasing power are moving. Because when you see all this trending on per capita income has a lot of forbearance on how the demand emanates on the various types of packaging used in the various economies. We have a trend line. This is a broader stuff which I can tell you. Like, we have a plan for investments, and at an appropriate stage, I think when something gets fructified and approved by the board, that's an appropriate stage, then we'll come and inform and all the investors how the plan now looks like, moving 5 to 7 years plan. So right now the focus is more on 2 years, two to four years plan, that how we should build up our capacities on the glass packaging, and then there is a plan further, which we are evaluating internally.
Yeah. If I can push your last question, earlier also, your colleague had mentioned about what's the per capita consumption of glass in India vis-a-vis what we are seeing in Europe and US and in some of the Asian countries too, etc. In this context, with the economic growth that we are continuing to see, even if it is slightly lower, what's kind of a capacity requirement or incremental demand that you are seeing for glass in India?
Rajesh, you answer or I take it? So basically, India has a good potential in terms of, you know, as the per capita, the overall GDP performance of the country has been very good. But I think the performance on our population increase also is, you know, correspondingly much better. So when you see the numbers on per capita income, you know, the trending is there. But definitely when we see city-wise and, you know, when we try to analyze top 30 cities in the country, the demand for, you know, the improvised packaging is increasing day by day. And I'm not taking entire country GDP, but if you try to analyze for top 30, top 40 cities inside the country and their consumption pattern, because major chunk of income is lying in those top 30, 40 cities in India. So we
I have already answered, I think, in the previous question. We have glass consumption per capita has already been indicated, which is 1.8. And just for information, we are in the GDP range of around less than $3,000 per capita. GDP per capita is $3,000. It has been seen that when the GDP moves from $3,000 to $5,000, so this $2,000 straight away enters into your lifestyle, hygiene, eating habits and other things. And where this glass consumption plays a very, very big role. See, today, if you are talking of USA and other where the per capita income is more than $50,000, $50,000, $60,000. So any increase in the per capita income in those countries and those people probably may not have any impact on the rise of glass consumption, because they have already matured to that level and those extra income is not going to add up in their consumption pattern. But we are in a pattern where the maximum growth is going to happen between $3,000 to $7,000. So we expect that as the India grow and reaches 5 trillion, 6 trillion, 7 trillion, 8 trillion, and this income level goes from $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 per capita. So there is going to be a huge demand in the glass side. Difficult to say, but normally what happens is in this range, the glass growth and the GDP growth, they are more or less have a ratio of 0.9. Means for every 1% GDP growth, the glass consumption band can be 0.9% growth. So this level of this thing, we can easily assume.
Okay. Thank you. I got something else also to ask, and I'll ask it. I'll take it offline and ask you later. Thank you.
So you are welcome, sir. You are welcome.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Oh, I'd just like to thank everybody who was there on the call. Thanks a lot and see you again. Bye.
On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.